As I was looking back over this last 39 lessons on the book of Ephesians, I just wanted to take another look at the overall picture. For those of you who are note takers, you won't need that pen for quite some time. So relax. I want to help us see what the message that God has for us in Christ. And it's amazing to think about this letter where Paul from prison wrote about God's great wealth and abundance for us when he was living in complete poverty. And he wrote a book that is perhaps one of the most amazing books in the New Testament, in the sense that all of the key doctrines of the Christian faith are in the book of Ephesians. There's this massive revelation about Jesus Christ here, as we have seen, in the book of Ephesians. And yet the glorious teaching about the church is right here in Ephesians. And for us, you know, we were born into a culture that had a church in it, but to a culture that did not have it. This is this amazing mystery that has been declared and revealed as we have walked through it. And so it's something to think about, because the book was broken up in this very unique way. The first three chapters is the revelation for the believer. This is who you are. This is who Christ is to you. And then the last three chapters are the responsibilities. Now knowing who you are, live. Okay? And so that's what we've been talking about, that the life of Christ, that you would become who you've been made to be, that you would live in that very life. And so there's the beliefs in the first three chapters, and then there's the behaviors in the last three. There's the work in us that Christ has done in the first three chapters, and then there's the work through us in the last three chapters. And so the first three talk about our position in Christ, and then the last three talk about our practice. And so what I'd like to do is take you through the book of Ephesians. Now, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. And in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with the view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. And in him also we have obtained our inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. And in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. And for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted and held together, is growing into a temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, which I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations has not been made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed in his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which has for ages been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with his eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Christ. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. And for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever. Amen. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which each joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become calloused, have given themselves over to sensuality and to the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in the accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty: no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things that become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, and with good will render service, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he'll receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm, able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take that helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you may also know about my circumstances and how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister, will make everything known to you. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. The Word of God to you. Can you imagine getting that letter? You know, we always read it in pieces. You know, we took 39 weeks to walk through all those pieces. But can you imagine that Sunday getting that letter read to the church, and then it was circulated to the churches there in Turkey? There's a lot in here, isn't there? You can, as you listen, you get, it can almost just overwhelm you as you walk from piece to piece. But as we think back over the book, I want to draw your mind to four things. So I'm going to walk those through very quickly, you know, quickly in James style. Number one, this is an awesome, awesome truth. And it's this: God gives every spiritual blessing to every believer by grace through faith in Christ. Every believer gets every spiritual blessing by grace through faith. We're placed into Christ, and therefore everything that is Christ is provided to us. Friends, you are graced. Tell the person next to you, you are graced. You're graced. And he clearly points out that we don't draw to God based on merit, but we're actually drawn to God based on mercy. We were dead, remember, in our trespasses and sins. And he reached out to us. And so all of the love, all of the mercy, all of the forgiveness of God is provided for us through Jesus Christ on the basis of grace. I used to have this, actually I still have this on my desk. Christ is life. The rest is details. But that's the truth. He's our life. And if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then you've been adopted into the beloved. You have the redemption from your life of sin. You have forgiveness for the sins that you've committed. You've been given salvation through faith in Christ. And you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you're blessed, graced to be a blessing. Number two, God releases the Spirit's power in each believer's life in response to believing prayer. Many people wonder why they don't encounter the fullness of God that they hear about from others or that the preacher may talk about, but oftentimes it's because we have not entered into relationship with Christ. We know of Him, but we're not known by Him. And so Paul spends 18 verses of 155 in here talking about prayer. He talks about it in chapter 1, in chapter 2, that beautiful, amazing prayer in chapter 3 with the amazing promise. And then in chapter 6, he says, hey, this is how you do warfare. What? Prayer is that which is going to strengthen you. And so God releases the Spirit's power in each believer's life through prayer, and you will be, what? Strengthened. I find that if I don't pray, I don't have strength. If I don't pray, I don't have power. And it's not in the sense that I quit praying completely and I never pray. All right? My mama taught me you pray before you eat. No. You know what I'm talking about? There's that sense of there's times when we are not entering into this life with God of conversation. It's like some of you may have been in a relationship at times where somebody gives you the cold shoulder, the silent treatment, right? So what happens in a relationship when you're in the silent treatment? Nothing good. If you're giving God the silent treatment, it's not going to happen. Confident conversations with the Father is what results in Him blessing you and strengthening you. You come to Him saying, hey, this is where I'm at. And the amazing thing, because of grace, is this, is that I come to God where I'm at, and I'm qualified to receive the grace of God based on what? Neediness and faith. It's my humility that attracts grace, right? And so when I come to God with humility, He says, I'd like to grace that child. They need it. But, you know, if we're arrogant, He can't give it to you because then you think you got it on your own. And you know people who think they've got all that in a bag of potato chips, right? You know, it's just they think so differently that God can't grace them the way He would like to. But prayer is this process where we enter into the Spirit realm. And the Spirit works in the child of God to accomplish the will of God when we're praying. And so I put it this way, that prayer is the spontaneous expressions of my life in Christ. Because even when I'm praying, it's Him inside of me that stirs me to prayer. And so prayer flows out of my desire to live His way, not to get God to go my way. Sometimes we're wrestling with God through prayer. That is not the point. It is okay to wrestle as long as the desire of your heart is that He would win your heart in the match. Be careful. You know, wrestlers like Jacob learn to limp later on. Some of you have wrestled with God in such a way, you've got some limps going on. You won the match, but you walked away limping. So there's this prayer thing that it's the purest expression when we pray for His will, not our own. And that kind of dependence produces power. All the way through this book, it's there. And then one of the great glories of the book of Ephesians is this, that the church. And so believers is this, God makes all believers one body in Christ by His Spirit to serve Him together in love as His church. This was such a radical, radical concept when Paul was proclaiming it. Jews and Gentiles would have nothing to do with each other. They couldn't do potluck like we did last week. Because you wouldn't have, there's all this food that wasn't kosher. And, you know, you wouldn't have anything to do with that person. They wouldn't go in their house. And he says, now, we're all one family. And so, by making us one family, he gives the opportunity for us to be the expression of Christ in love. Because it says there in John, he says, by this they will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. It's not saying we should not love the outside world, but that which is most influential to the outside world is when Christians love each other, sacrifice for each other, serve each other, and they go, that's different. That's what he's calling us to. And so he puts us together in a living relationship with all other believers. That's what he talked about. He says, every joint supplied by the proper working of each part. And so we are connected. Connected. We're a family in ministry together. Now, you know, sometimes in families, there were responsibilities. Did you grow up with some of those? You know, I had five brothers and sisters. There was a sign up and a rotation. All of the dishes, you know. And you were either washing, you were drying, you were setting the table, you were chopping wood, you were milking the cow. There was a duty to serve. And I don't know if you ever had that conversation with your father. I did with mine one time, kind of talking about the idea that, you know, I'm doing an awful lot of work. I had to get paid. And he kind of asked if I liked eating. You know, do you like living in a house? Hey, fathers are really wise that way, aren't they? You know, just to bring a few things to mind. You know, I kind of said, well, you just had us to have cheap labor. And he says, you're not cheap. And but there's things that you learn in family that you don't learn no place else. And there's a relationship he intends for us to have, church, as his family, connected. And he gave you a gift. This is such a glorious thing that you're connected in the family with a gift to do something for God. And we're gifted to serve those that we're connected to. And so what happens, he said there in chapter 4, is that when we serve, it produces maturity. Maturity is produced through ministry. And so when he wrote this letter to the Ephesians, he said, hey, serve each other, because this is how you're going to grow up. And it's a funny thing. You grow up doing certain things at home, and you didn't like them. But didn't maturity get built into you? Didn't values get built into you in that process? Even though you may have been resenting and resisting those values. I still love gardening. Oh man, as a kid, I hated that weeding. 2 or 3 hours working in the orchard or working in the raspberries, picking berries. You know, I couldn't go to the river. I couldn't go fishing. I couldn't go hiking until I got my chores done. But serving together grew me up. And that's what it does for us, friends. And fourth, amazing provision of God here is that God provides every believer all the direction and all the provision that they need to live victoriously. Everything you need has been provided by your Father. In fact, what kind of father would tell you, do this, and do this, and not give you what you need? Now, mind you, I was a little disappointed when my father gave me a bow saw to cut firewood instead of a chainsaw, but I had what I needed. Wasn't always what I wanted. Anybody with me yet? You know what I'm talking about? Is that God gives you what you need. It may not be everything you want, but he provides the direction and the provision that you need to live victoriously. Because, friends, we are in a spiritual war. Every day of your life, every hour of your life, in every relationship of your life, there's a spiritual battle going on. You say, well, no, James, I'm really glad I'm not having those battles in my relationship. Well, either one of you is dead, you're doing God's will as you walk it out. See, if you walk in his will in relationship, oftentimes it will eliminate a lot of those conflicts. But when we're in this spot, you have the provision to walk relationally with others with grace because you've been graced. Remember, we talked about it. So now we're talking about this idea that the direction and the provision are given to you, so you are supplied with everything you need to do everything God commands you to do. That's the kind of God he is. You're supplied. And when his supply, both the directions and the provisions, are appropriated, that we obey those things, we then experience victory. And I find people that say, well, hey, I've prayed. Good. What have you done? See? There's times when you will never accomplish the will of God on your knees. Now, you can never accomplish more of the will of God if you've never been on your knees. But once you've been on their knees, there is a time to get up and walk. Are you with me on this? And so it's not just, oh, I'm so spiritual. I'm sorry, I can't take out the garbage, honey. I'm praying. You know, I mean, it's hey, I'm so spiritual. I don't have time for my children. No, that's your diaper. Change it. Okay? There's these choices that we make because he's provided what we need, but it does lead to behavioral change. And so as you obey God's direction in relationship, it'll give you a victory. And when you see the conflicts there, remember back what he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Because, man, we do wrestle flesh and blood. Okay, so he's not saying there's never a flesh and blood wrestling. He says that's not the real war. That's not the real battle. So recognize where the real battle is. Friends, I want you to get this. What we're talking about here is not tricks. It's truths that will transform your life when you submit to it. But submission requires letting somebody else be on the throne. But here's the deal. You have been supplied to succeed, all right? So you have all you need to win the battle you're in. That is so encouraging to me because sometimes I'm feeling beat down and beat up and tired of and defeated, and I got what I need to do what I'm called to do. I can win the battle I'm in. But you have to keep winning. You have to keep going. You have to keep obeying. It is not based on what's already happened. Sorry. There's another game going on, friends. There's another challenge. There's another war. We have to step forward into what he's called us to. And in that place, with God's supply, you can win. If you'll let him transform you, by letting the truth transform you, by walking the truth out in your life. And it's only possible, if your faith is in him. Doesn't come any other way. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. I'm hoping I've got this one in your soul, not just in your head, but in your soul. Let's read it together again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. Friends, you cannot get saved by being good. Why not? Number one, you're not good. Ask your sister. As your spouse. Somebody else will tell you, you know, and how, and people will tell me, well, how, you know, I'm as good as so-and-so. Well, that's fine. Here's the question. God doesn't measure against so-and-so. Are you as good as God is good? If you're not good enough to go. God ain't bringing trash into the house. He wants to clean you up. If you put your faith in Christ, he will wash you with the very blood of Christ and take the not goodness out, place his goodness in, and make you a new creation. And that's the 10th verse, which says, we are his, what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. God has a walk for you. But understand this, Christ is life. I'm not here saying try harder. I'm here saying trust deeper. Trust deeper. Christ in me is life. And apart from him, I have no life. So if you have never called on Christ to save you, if you never called on Christ to forgive you, then I would urge you, if you're listening to my voice, if you're hearing in your soul, you call on Christ and he will save you. Once you are saved, guess what? You still need to call on Christ. Peter had been baptized. Peter had been following Jesus, and he still had to say, Lord, save me, out on the water, didn't he? He was doing the will of God, and he had some doubts, and he got wet. Friends, we get ourselves in trouble, but we still need the very life of Christ to give his life to us. So this whole book, the book of Ephesians, has been about Christ's life in you, all right, and your life in Christ. And so it equals this, that every believer is graced, strengthened, connected, and supplied by Christ with his very life in you. Isn't that an amazing thought? You are so, so, so blessed by a Savior that loves you so much. Amen? Amen. Father, we just want to come to you this morning and thank you, thank you, thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for this very book called Ephesians, that we might learn to live life by the life of Christ. And Lord, I'm praying this morning that you would help us to get what you want us to get. There is a whole lot of words put out here today, but you know the word you gave to each one of us. And I pray that we would take it, that we'd receive it, that we'd say, yes, I heard you. I will obey you. Will you bring us to that place of submission and dependence, that we might walk in your power and bring you glory, and that we might enter into the joy of life in Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen. 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 Let's stand and sing.